David Harris, good morning.
I don't know, great pleasure. It sounded like I had to deliver a speech now. Ladies and gentlemen, unaccustomed as I am to public speaking.
All right, David Harris. Let's talk about Iran. I am very, very confused about Iran. I see this iconic picture of this woman standing on this concrete block. I'm sure you've seen it. She's standing there. She's waving a flag, and she has removed the hijab off her face. And my thought is, well, if these are economic protests that are happening in Iran, why remove your hijab? Then,
very good.
So, all right, well, let's go. Let's start with that, and I have many other questions for you.
Oh, okay. Forgive me for interrupting. It all started Thursday, a week ago, in a city called Mashhad. Mashhad is the stronghold of a conservative rival of President Rouhani. It's somebody who sees himself as being the rightful president, and he is, if you think that, you know, that Rouhani is a conservative, this guy, you know, eclipses him in terms of his conservatism. And so he created the initial fuss about bread riots, just the same thing as actually broke out in Sudan over the weekend. He said there are lots of poor people out there. We need to make a stand against the government. So it was a political move, and it was also a social move. And that's how it started, and people took to the streets. But then, a group of students said, hey, look what's happening in Mashhad. Why don't we do something? And a group of pensioners and a women's group and a men's taxi club and whatever it was. And bit by bit, lots of people took to the streets, each of them calling for their own thing. The one thing that was the collective about all of them was the dissatisfaction with the current regime in Iran. And the way that certain people expressed that was by the removal of the hijab. There's been an ongoing campaign by a wonderful group, you can find them on Facebook, called My Stealthy Freedom. We're actually this week interviewing the head of My Stealthy Freedom. And they, every Wednesday for a long time, have been dressing in white, have told all Iranian women to dress in white. Just as a symbol to show that black is not our color. And they've also engaged in a campaign of hijab removal. So those photos that you saw were only part of the protest, and it's not just about that. But obviously, people who are taking the photographs are looking for, forgive the word, the sexiest photos they can find, and that will always involve women, and in Iran it means involving women removing their hijabs. But there are many people who are conservatives who are also protesting.
Very interesting. Did you see the story that former president Ahmadinejad has been arrested for inciting unrest? I mean, all this time we've been hearing Rouhani say it's the United States and Israel that's inciting unrest.
Yeah, well, they're going to, as a very, very nicely put, they're going to accuse whoever they can. They always do. Just the same way that the Saudi crown prince has been rounding up lots of princes, the way that Erdogan in Turkey rounds up journalists and opposition leaders. The same thing happens in Iran and in any dictatorship. Wherever you see the possible signs, first hints of opposition, you clamp down. So they will accuse the foreign powers, obviously particularly the United States and Israel, but also anybody that they see as an internal opposition figure.
Yeah, interesting. So where do you think it's going to go?
It's going to fizzle out, unfortunately. Already the last couple of days we've seen fewer people on the streets. One reason for that is that the government of Iran, which is controlled by the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, which is a military organization but that also controls about 50% of the economy, the IRGC and government said, okay, we're going to send our troops into all of these towns where these protests are taking place, nip it in the bud, prevent it from getting out of hand, and that appears to be what's been happening. That's certainly as it was over the last 24-48 hours, but we in the West, you can argue we should get involved and we should be encouraging regime change, or you could say better the devil you know than the devil you know you don't, and so on. But I think what we in the West should be doing is making sure that Western leaders at least give support to those people who are asking for greater freedoms in Iran, because what's happening there on a daily basis is the wanton breach of human rights, is attacks on women, attacks on gays, attacks on anybody who is seen as being opposition to the government, and all of that, you know, flies in the face of United Nations, you know, Geneva Convention and various other UN resolutions and so on. And here we are with Iran, you know, having this very serious seat on the United Nations Human Rights Council and being allowed on a regular basis to criticize who, of course, Israel. You know, it's totally intolerable, it's totally unacceptable. And this, at least, if nothing else, should be an opportunity for us in the West to leverage what's happening there for political gain, to give those people, you know, just a little bit of support. And it's been very disappointing to see the lack of support for those people, both in the West and also in the Middle East.
Right, exactly. I mean, just remembering that it was 2009 that they were very badly let down by the West when the Iranian people really needed support at that time.
Look, at the end of the day, one of the problems, and I'm presenting a somewhat naive picture in what I've said so far, is the economic side of things. A country like Germany, there are many companies within Germany that have got massive, you know, multi-billion ongoing year-by-year deals with Iranian companies, and those types of things are always going to get in the way of these types of things. We've got in Nikki Haley at the United Nations and Donald Trump, people who are prepared to say things. The question is whether the United States is prepared to put you know, its money where its mouth is. So far, on that perspective, since Trump took office a year ago, we haven't seen that much action. The American policy is very much one of, we want the world to work the way we want it to work, but we're not necessarily prepared to commit troops on the ground. Not that I'm saying troops should be sent into Iran. And the question is, how much can the saber-rattling actually create change in what is a very dangerous world out there?
David Harris, that's where we leave it today. By the way, are you a David Bowie fan?
David Bowie? No. But I just finished watching Ashes to Ashes, which followed on from Life on Mars, which are named after David Bowie tunes. I really enjoyed the TV shows, which have absolutely nothing to do with him, but no, can't stand his music whatsoever. I like the bit that he does with Bing Crosby, but only because Bing Crosby's in the song.
Do you like Elvis?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to play you some Elvis. I was going to ask you, you know, as the editor-in-chief at the Clarion Project, how do you pronounce it? Bowie, Bowie, or Bowie?
David Bowie, probably.
See, I always also called him David Bowie, but then he named his daughter Zoe, said he could call her Zoe Bowie.
Caffeine just let it go.
By the way, your colleague was talking before about phlegm in the CH in Chai FM. I was wondering if he could spell phlegm.
Can you spell phlegm, Matthew?
P-H-L-E-G-M.
Woo! We got some readers here. David Harris, thank you so much. Love speaking to you. Thank you so much. Goodbye. That's David Harris. He is the editor-in-chief at the Clarion Project. Go and check out what they have to say. And here's a song for editors-in-chief at the Clarion Project. After that, we're going to take some traffic.